ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before, Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. It seems like every week we have a new introduction, and I like it. I like them all, actually. I like this one. Thank you. And hello, everyone. I am so excited. You know, this is our 69th show. 69. And we all know what 69 means. Add 6 and 9, and that's 15. And you add 5 and 1, you get 6. And 6 is all about family and responsibility and all that. That's what I was thinking when I said, you know what 69 means. I don't know what you all were thinking. But anyway, so I'm excited because today's our 69th show. And because today, speaking of family, we have a friend on. Elaine Wilkes is on, and she is a PhD, an NC, an MA, an LEED. I don't know what an LEED is. It sounds like a light or something. But she's got a book that is fascinating that we'll tell you about in just a minute. But talk about life changes. You know, I had my monologue, whatever you want to call it, here at the beginning of the show, already planned out. I knew exactly what I was going to say, and I was looking forward to saying it. And then I got a phone call, like an hour before the show. I actually didn't answer because I was too busy. And I heard a message from a friend. And I thought, oh, geez, I got to talk about that. So as you could imagine, in an hour, there's a lot to do before the show. But somehow or other, I just knew I had to talk about this. So I don't know exactly what I'm going to say about it, but I'm just going to say it because it's like, oh, it's in my head and I can't get it out. So you all know that, June 26th, actually, Dorothy and Laura threw me a birthday party. And so there were lots of beautiful people there, all of them friends. And a friend of mine came, and as she came up, we were joking about something that was completely unrelated to anything at all. We were just, for some reason, we got on a track, and we were joking about something. And that's that. Anyway, she ended up drinking a little bit too much. But as I got up to do a speech in front of all these beautiful people, and mind you, I've never wanted to have a birthday party in all these years, and here all of a sudden I finally said, okay, and then Laura and Dorothy threw me this beautiful party, and here were all these people gathering that I never thought I would have gathered together from all different aspects of my life, and I thought, wow, this is a first. So as I got up to speak, and as I said the first couple words of what I was going to say to thank everybody, this friend of mine evidently had had too much to drink. And so she blurts out something really loudly for all to hear, especially me. It was a big backyard and it was outdoors. And I heard what she said. And I said something right back at her. And and then she didn't say anything, but I said something right back. It didn't even faze me. And I said something like, and you've had too much to drink, but I hope you're having fun or whatever. And then I kind of went on with what I was going to say. Now, it wasn't until, like 2 days later that I was sharing this with my brother Peter, who wasn't there at the party. And I was telling him what she said, and he just took a big gasp. And as soon as he did that, I realized what she had said. Now, I knew what she had said, but what she said was in relation to the joke that we were talking about, which had nothing to do with, obviously, at that moment. What she said was could have been embarrassing to me, but what she didn't know, and what my brother reminded me of, was this was something used against me as a child. I was verbally abused using almost the exact same words that she blurted out at the party. Maybe someday I'll say what it was. But for now, and for her, because there were a lot of people there, and a lot of people listen to the show, and I don't want to embarrass her. And for that split second while my brother and I were on the phone, I thought, oh, my God, she said that. And again, those were the words that were used to hurt me as a child by many people for some reason. It just, that seemed to just catch on in elementary school, then high school. And the beautiful thing was that I said, wow, that's awesome. And my brother says, what is? And I said, the fact that she said that and it didn't trigger me, that I didn't think, oh, God, it's followed me till here, till now. And I didn't think, oh, God, people think of me that way. Or I didn't think, you know, here I am. This is so embarrassing. I just thought, okay, and, you know, you've had too much to drink, but I'm glad you're having fun or whatever. It did not faze me. And so I was so grateful to her and then to my brother to helping me remember that that used to be a trigger word or subject and that it didn't trigger me. And I thought, wow, I really have done a lot of work. And I'm so happy about this. And my brother said, are you ever going to tell her? And I said, no, it served me. And I hope it served her in whatever way it needed to serve her. Well, that's the phone call I got today. Almost a month later, I hear from this friend of mine who leaves a message and says, because I said what I said at your party, I realized I can't handle alcohol anymore, and I have a problem with it. I am so sorry. I hope I didn't embarrass you or any of your friends and family gathered. And I checked myself into an institute, and that's where I've been this past 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm better, and I'm never going to drink again. I feel so good. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. In that moment of what could have been really tragic on this happy day for me, I was receiving the award of the president for whatever and stuff. She could have just floored me, and I could have, well, I could have let myself be floored, and it could have ruined my night, but I didn't let it. And she could have continued to be where she was, but she didn't let it. And there was such an amazing healing that night from her doing what she did for me and obviously for her. And I think back and say, wow, what a magical moment that was, and how grateful I am for me and for her for that moment. And who knows however many blessings also came from that moment, which could have been tragic and could have been very negative. So that just happened about an hour ago. So I said, I just got to talk about it. I don't know what I'm going to say about it, but I'm just going to say something. And I did. So with that, I hope you got something out of that. I know I did, and I shared it. So I want to share also that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the VBS Radio Network live or at www.lifechanges.ws. If you are listening to the archives, which at the moment are free, and you can hear all of our guests there, or you can hear us live every Monday night at 7 p.m., and our guest tonight is Elaine Wilkes. And like I said, she's a PhD, an NC, an MA, an LLE, an LEED. And I'll have her share what those are, because I don't even know what some of those are. Well, I do. But anyways, she's a self-proclaimed learning addict. And there she is. She just walked into the studio. I heard you squeal. who she has discovered that the answers to most of life's questions are found in nature. As a matter of fact, she's written this wonderful book, and she cleverly calls it Nature's Secret Messages, Hidden in Plain Sight. And the book has been awarded a rare star recommendation from Publishers Weekly. Now, I as soon as I found out that she had written this book and that she got onto Hay House and that she's got this really powerful, can I say who?
Yeah.
She's got Eckhart Tolle's agent yes. as her agent. I mean...
Start at the top, baby.
Absolutely. She's who we happen to know, actually. And if he's listening, is he listening, do you think? He better be.
He does everything. Everything I say, he does.
Bill, you better be listening. And we're all saying hello to you. We know him. And so anyway, she's been interviewed by many, many people. I don't know why we weren't the first and why we didn't get the exclusive. But no, don't try and make up for it now. But I mean, even the Chicago Tribune, Forbes Magazine, Alternative Medicine Magazine, and Women's World. And now, Life Changes. So we welcome to the show, Elaine Wilkes.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. You know, you mentioned Hay House and Bill Gladstone, and that's part of what my book is about, is using your instincts. And that's how I got the deal with Hay House, is I used my instincts. And I think that's the thing, is what my book is mainly about, is that we're all getting so busy and we're ignoring nature, and we're ignoring all the signs that are hidden in plain sight, whether it be in nature or with your body, or there's just so much information available to us right here, right now, but we're busy texting and ignoring it. And because I was working on my book at the time, and because I was really into being present, all of a sudden I was at Book Expo. Everyone says, don't pitch at Book Expo. I was leaving. I thought, this is the worst show. I was so tired. I was even crabby. Like, it's just like, oh, this is so
you crabby?
I know,
no,
I know.
I can't believe it.
And I was just that I'm leaving. And all of a sudden, I had an instinct to go back. And I don't know why. And I listened to my instinct because I was so into this book of learning to follow your instincts.
Right.
And I went back, and all of a sudden, this guy hands me something from Hay House. Just as I was walking back, I took it, and I thought, I got to get to Hay House. I got to Hay House. There was Louise Hay with her last person, the very last person signing a book.
She was there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
And I stood right behind. It was the timing. I couldn't have planned the timing better because I was the very last person. All of a sudden, I went up to her and pitched my book, and that's what happened.
And the rest is history. And now it's at Barnes & Noble. I mean, like, actually in the stores, and it's all over. That's exciting.
Very exciting. And that's another thing with the book I've learned. Anyone out there, if someone says no, that could mean a maybe. Because at first I said I couldn't get into Barnes & Noble, and then we got in. So it was really exciting. So now it's neat to have my book there.
Neat.
Neat.
It's neat. Well, see, that's so like you, because you're so understated. You really are. We see each other. We play with each other's hair. We joke about this and that. And yet it's like you are this walking encyclopedia of information. You really are. Or I shouldn't say encyclopedia. I don't want to insult you. You're more of a Google.
There we are.
But tell me.
It's more modern.
The PhD, that's in psychology, right?
Naturopathy.
Okay. Oh.
Healing with nature. Yeah.
Okay.
Natural methods more so, yeah.
Okay. What did you get in psychology then?
Master's degree in psychology.
Okay. And that's the MA.
Yeah.
And the NC?
Is nutrition degree.
And what the heck is an LEED?
I'm the leader. No. LEED is leadership in energy and environmental design, which is for the environment. It's, if you're in the environment, you would know what it is. It's like a big, it's an accreditation.
Wow. So. And you left out a beautiful representative of how a woman can show up in this world.
Oh, this is what I love about Filippo. No, you have this way. We went to this party, and he has this way of, like, charming.
Wait a minute, that's private.
Okay. But he has this way of charming. You have a really great way with people.
Well, I'm not trying to charm anybody. I just see
what's... Anyway, go on.
Okay. All right. So we're here to talk about all kinds of things, actually.
Okay, yes.
And so let's start. You have this varied knowledge, and so the book is like that, actually, because it covers so much ground. And yet, literally.
It's got a lot of ground to cover. It's an earth book.
Yes, okay, it is, yeah. And it's about nature. Yeah. So how does one get started saying, okay, let's stop. Actually,
okay,
let's take it far a little further back. How do you get started in the medical, you know, naturopathic field? How did you get started?
Okay, one time I felt really sick, and all of a sudden my hair started falling out. And I talk about, make sure, be careful what you say, because I always used to say I hate my hair, because it wasn't like, you know, it'd be frizzy one day or something. And then all of a sudden my hair started falling out, and it kept falling out and falling out in clumps.
All of a sudden you didn't hate it anymore, huh?
And I was like, I love my hair. Stay in. I want my hair. And it was too late. All my hair fell out.
Wow.
I was bald for a year.
I didn't know you then.
Yes, you did not. And I was bald, and I had rashes all over my face, and
wow.
I was really sick from accidental poisoning, actually. And so the only way they could treat it is with natural means, because I was so toxic that they couldn't do it with anything else. So I realized the food, thoughts, everything is really, really important. What you say, what you think, what you eat, everything is really important. And I saw such a fantastic change with those methods that I thought, okay, I would like to learn more about this. So I became a learning addict, and I learned everything I could. And now I realize I kind of use my instincts and the knowledge at the same time. So,
all right. So now you decide I'm putting it into a book. And where did you start with that?
You know, I was just in a seminar with Dee Wallace. We were on a panel, and she was a mother from E.T. And she said it so great. She said, a book ends up writing you.
Mm.
It wasn't like I thought, oh, I'm going to sit down and write the book. It was kind of one of those things that it's kind of like giving birth or something. It kind of just, it was a process that wrote me that. And that's kind of just how I can explain it. I never, ever, if I went to a psychic then and I said, you're going to be a writer or something, I never, ever would have thought they were crazy, because it wasn't something that, it was just something that happened, that I just felt really strong. And that's one thing I want to say, too, is when you put all your, I just saw Will Smith interviewed, and he said, there's no plan B, because I put everything I have into plan A. He goes, so I don't need a plan B. And I felt so much love for nature. And I thought, if people can understand how much, we have a free therapist right there outside our door. We have so much. If you're feeling stressed, go sit on the ground. Go by a tree. The energy actually intunes you. It's like a tuning fork. Nature's like a big tuning fork and can tune you to its rhythms. And so I just felt so passionate about it that the book kind of wrote me, I guess.
Well, it certainly wrote you a lot, and
yeah.
and took you all over the place. So, you know, one of the most fascinating things about it, you know, at the beginning of the book, you talk about like what a carrot looks like.
Well, I take ancient wisdom, because when I was in school, we had to study what the ancients did and everything. So I take ancient wisdom and combine it with modern science. And I always thought, what would it be like? The thing that impressed me so much with the ancients is that they had so much respect for the land.
Mm-hmm.
And also they didn't have any diet books or anything, anybody telling them what to eat. So they had to actually go and look at the food. You know, hey, here, Filippo, you eat it first.
Right.
you go first.
Hey, Mikey, he likes it.
Let's see if he likes it first. So they had so much. They had to really be in tune with the land. And by being in tune with the land, they knew what to eat. They knew when to eat. They were, you know, now we have biodynamic farming, which is we plant according to the rhythms of nature. And it's like the she thing to do. That's what they did all the time back then. And they were so in tune. They actually have the first clock was an Antikythera, which was, the first computer. And it was all the moon and the sun and this. It was, they used everything in their time to, like the astrology, astronomy, everything to plant and be in tune with the land. And so anyway, so what they did, sorry but to go off like that, folks, what they did was basically they would study the food, the plant, and figure out what could this be used for. And ironically, there are many instances I give where people took the same thing from all different countries, and they didn't have cell phones back then to say, and they all had the same remedy by looking and studying at the plant that way. And I talked to doctors and they said, oh, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, they don't think so. But then I talked to botanists and people who work in the field, literally in the field all the time. And they said, yeah, there's little messages that we get. If something has a strong smell, usually it's medicinal. Or used for ceremony.
They say, and that's in the book.
Yeah, like there are certain things, if you study the plants, you start understanding, like, this is probably used for this, or this is, it's just very fascinating to see what,
It is fascinating, actually. And so tell us about, since I mentioned it, tell us about the carrot, for
example.
Well,
okay, these things.
We don't want to, put a carrot out there and
we don't want to
hang the carrot.
The carrot, if you slice it in half, it looks like an eye. And we all know carrots are good for the eyes. The walnut, looks like a brain. But it's funny because I thought it's also good for the heart. And there's another, on page 13 of the book, it shows that the walnut actually looks like a heart, too.
Right, when you, slice it in half.
In half,
which
it looks
is
like a
fascinating.
Heart. And then it's really good for the heart and the brain. And you can say, maybe people can think, oh, this is ridiculous. But the thing is, whether you buy it or not, it helps you stimulate your creativity and your mind. And that's really important, to stimulate your creativity. Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge. And by stimulating your creativity and looking at things and go, now, what could this be for? It really helps. It literally is firing off different ways in your brain. So it's really good for your brain to do that, too.
Now, actually, the avocado, I've heard of it as it was good for the testicles. But you have here a woman's womb.
Well, it's also, it has a lot of fat. So in both ways, it's good in both of that. The avocado is great as a great source of potassium. Everyone thinks of bananas as potassium, but actually the avocado is great for potassium.
Huh.
It's great.
I didn't know that. And then you have some fascinating things like the pictures that you've chosen here. I mean, like the grapes hanging on the vine. You compared it to the heart and all the capillaries and...
Well, the ancients felt that if something had a vine, it was good for the heart and all the veins and everything, because it kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
And now we know grapes have resveratrol, which actually helped the heart and the,
right.
And also I talk about with the grapes, it's interesting is what man has done to food. Like we think we took the seeds out because we don't want to be chewing on grape seeds. But the grape seeds are one of the healthiest part of the grape.
Mm.
And now by taking out the seeds, they're sugar balls, really. Mm. I don't really recommend grapes. I mean, they're really high in sugar. The same as with salt. With salt, it was dirty looking salt. So we wanted to make it white and pour really well. And by doing that, by processing it, we made it toxic.
Mm.
But sea salt is good for you. So it's kind of like we kind of keep messing up things a little bit.
We keep trying to screw up nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we are screwing it up.
Exactly. And it comes back to us.
And so that's, you're saying let's get back to it. And the secrets are there. And in plain sight, I mean, you're absolutely right. The clues are all right there. So that's kind of like what the food is. I love these questions that you ask. I could just see, where is the, what fruit has its seeds on the outside? I don't know.
Well, but you know what's interesting about that? It's the strawberry.
Yes.
And it's like you look at food all the time, and then it's like, how many times have you seen a strawberry and you don't think about it?
I didn't know those were seeds.
They are.
I'm embarrassed to say I've been eating strawberries all my life, and I didn't know that it had seeds and they were on the outside. It's like, how little do we know? It's like children not knowing that, a chicken McNugget comes from a cow. I mean, from a cow. From a chicken. Well, maybe it does come from a cow. I don't know anymore.
But
where does food come from?
Yeah, but it's interesting. I also have if you slice an apple in half, it's the star.
Oh.
Have you ever seen the star in the apple?
I don't know that I have.
Oh, okay. Slice an apple, not, not how you normally slice it, but in half.
Oh, in half.
Yeah.
Okay, not from.
No one can see me.
Yeah. Can you all see
this? Can you all see this?
Okay.
I'm going to half like this.
So you have the apple sitting on your desk with the little, like a.
Right, right.
I know you understand. I'm trying to explain to them. I'm not playing charades here with you, with the stem. Okay.
I was just so podcast.
You don't cut it from like the stem down. You cut it from like the stem is on one side and the butt's on the other kind of thing.
Cut it across.
Across. There's a good word. And there's a star there.
And there's a star there. And the reason why ancients felt like if there was a star, it meant the food was safe to eat. And now it's true, like most, and if you see, like, there's many stars on food. Look at the tomato, on top of the tomato, there's a little star.
Oh, wow.
A little green thing.
Wow.
At the bottom of a blueberry is a star. Star fruit. I mean, there's stars everywhere in nature. And that's another
that's
thing is, now, it sounds so goofy, but what it does is it brings me present, because you'll start seeing, look at the star shapes on flowers. And it just brings me present for a minute when I'm walking. All of a sudden, I start noticing, like, oh, there's a star shape on the flower. There's this orange. You know, I know, those little secrets, and it just brings me present for a little bit. And it actually fills me with awe, because that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's an amazing how – and then I talk about the geometry and everything and the numbers and math and how all the patterns, there's many patterns that are just reoccurring and the – it's incredible, really, how much. And I talk about the bees, and how the bees,
right.
And how the bees knew how to make a hexagon, put the most amount of honey in the least amount of space. I mean, you would need someone who knows calculus to know that. Yet the bees knew, and then they knew how to put a hexagon in a hex. I mean, it's like, how do they know that?
Yeah, how do they know that? And as a matter of fact, you also talk about the bees working together, right?
Yeah.
What about that?
That it's like they, you know what's so interesting is I say how we can learn from nature, I guess, just the ways of nature. And the bees all, if they find some, you know, pollen or something, I mean,
whatever they find.
Whatever they find, the good stuff. They will go back and tell the other bees.
Oh, wow.
And share it with everyone. They don't like hide it to themselves.
Kind of like the gold rush.
Yeah. They do it all.
Where nobody told anybody.
Yeah. they keep it all, they share it with everybody.
Right.
And they do this little waggle dance that's like a GPS system according to the sun, where they'll communicate. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And they'll tell it the location in this dance they do, and they do it according with the sun. It's amazing.
Instead, here, if somebody sees something good, it's like, hey, where did you find that? It's like, none of your business.
Okay. But it's really interesting how they're so smart. And plants know how to give, when they're perfume for pollinators and poisons for predators. So nature is alive, and there's all this going on around us, but we're so busy texting and running and getting things done that we kind of miss out on some of these really wonderful things happening all around us. I tell a story how this guy was in the New York subway system, or Washington subway system, and he was playing music, and in 1 hour he got, I think, $35, you know, and he was the most famous violinist in the world. Have you heard that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because, and I'm playing on a $3 million violin. And
right.
But everyone's just so busy. And a kid stopped to listen, but the mother blocked him. Like, no, we got to keep going. Don't listen. And that's how I see nature, as we have so much beauty around us that can really set your day and change your mood and help you in so many ways. And yet we're too busy to notice a little bit.
We're too busy trying to live that we miss the living.
Yeah.
You know, when we come back, we're going to talk about something that I don't know that you talk about very much, and that's the dark side of all this. And we'll talk about the dark side of nature. I have a feeling you mean something different than...
No,
what,
actually it is both.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then good. Well, we'll talk about that. I want to remind everybody that we're talking to Elaine Wilkes, and she is a PhD, an NC, an MA, a WD, Dippity, and she's... No, she's not Dippity at all. On the contrary, she's got a book out called Nature's Secret Messages Hidden in Plain Sight. It is on the Hay House Publishing, and you can find it at bookstores throughout the country and, of course, online as well. And actually, Elaine, we haven't given out your website yet. Which one do you want to see that?
ElaineWilkes.com.
And Wilkes is WILKES. So ElaineWilkes.com. And there you'll find the book? And how to get it as well.
And health products and stuff like that.
That's right. Actually, she's got a lot of health products, and you'll find them at the website. And if you forget her website, of course, you can always go to lifechanges.ws. And, of course, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and I am Filippo, and happy to be your host today on the BBS Radio Network, where you can hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m., or listen to all our archive shows right now for free at lifechanges.ws. Of course, you can always keep the conversation going by finding us at Life Changes with Filippo on Facebook, and, of course, Twittering us. You'll find all that information on our website. Happy to be in touch with all of you. So we're back with Elaine Wilkes, and we've been talking about what nature has to offer as far as positive is concerned. But in the book, you talk about the dark side of nature. So let's talk about that.
Well, I think that's something that really needs to be addressed now, especially with the recession and the economy and so many challenges going on. In nature, people, I interviewed this guy who's he gives tours where you go for a week in nature and you know, and actually it's funny because you're actually safer in nature than you are in the city. Statistics show.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be really challenging.
And there might be a bear.
Oh my God. And he said that people, where their mind, like if they see something, their mind in nature, like will go crazy because, oh, I think it's after me now. The bear will be coming any minute.
Right.
Oh my God.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? What's that?
And he said people are so afraid of nature, where statistically, I mean, it's so much safer a place to be than driving on the freeway.
Besides, who wants to eat a human? I mean, we're tasteless, some of us. Some of us have good taste.
So anyway, he talked to me and he said that sometimes, you know, they see a little hair, a bunny, and it's like, oh, look how cute the bunny is, and it's sunny today. But then all of a sudden they'll see an eagle take the bunny, and the bunny will be, you know, screaming for its life.
Right.
And then it'll be cloudy with bugs and gnats, and they're like, this is no fun. We don't want this. But I think what kind of the book is talking about is saying that we have to go, that nature is always changing, and there's cloudy days and sunny days. And sometimes I think with this, it's great to be positive, but sometimes there's something about accepting what's happening and going with it and going into it and accepting it rather than resisting, like, oh my God, this shouldn't be happening.
Mm.
And I think that's how nature is in nature. There's, you know, the dark side, and our life can have cloudy days like that too.
You know, that's interesting that you should say that, because on the one hand, I think, okay, yeah, I don't like to see a little bunny necessarily being scooped up and becoming food, right? And yet, it's becoming food for the bird, for the eagle. So how many times do we actually see people getting killed on television for absolutely no reason,
right,
or just because, you know, somebody has a problem with somebody else and they pop them or whatever? And it's like, okay, we talk about it's safer in nature.
Yeah.
You know, that's survival. This is, we've so screwed up even our natural process, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point you bring up. It's true. And it's like, when you start, that's why I'm saying, it's so hard to explain when I do these interviews how much, if we all respected nature and kind of understood its ways, it would help us as a society so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know the movie Avatar?
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, they had no contact with nature.
Right.
And they had, you know, to where they couldn't even breathe in the air. Everybody was, they had no magic in them, no spontaneous, no fun in them anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens, I think, when you lose touch with nature. We're getting too technology. You know, they had the greatest technology, but there was not one smile there, you know.
Mm.
And whereas the people who were in nature, the avatars, were connected with what, you know, like they gave her a sign that one time, you know.
Right,
they sensed
something was happening.
And
or
they had coming. That connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that connection is just vital to our society. And that's what I think the movie showed so brilliantly, is when you have that connection, and notice how the people were all connected too. Because when you respect nature, you start respecting those around you. The Indians felt like they would only do a ceremony if they were about to build, they would have to do a ceremony to the land before. If they would eat, they would take the seed and then plant it back in the ground as a way of giving back. If they had a crop, they would only take 90% or 80% and leave 20% to show the land respect. And so now, especially with the BP oil going on, I feel like they didn't show any respect to nature. It was just like, I wrote an article, I said it was like a pimp pumping away on a prostitute.
Wow.
Because they didn't show any respect that, you know, it's just like, we want it now, we want it fast, we want it hard, you know, we want it now, give me, give me, give me. And nature is the one in charge, and look what happened. So,
you know, it's interesting. For some reason, it reminded me of being at a farmer's market once, and not once, but being at a farmer's market and asking a lady if her grapes, ironically, were organic. And she says, organic, organic, what do you, they don't have to be organic. Look, I use pesticides and herbicides, and I'm eating, and I'm fine. And she pops a grape in her mouth. Said, I didn't even wash it. And look, did I die? No, I didn't die. Of course, you know, she's probably dead now. But the point is that, yes, we could do certain things for a while because we don't see the effects necessarily right away. But eventually, all of this stuff will take its toll.
You know what I call it? Charge card living. Because we're charging up now, and then we pay with interest later on. And that's what happened with BP. They just charge. You know, we got to get this done now. We'll forget. We'll not take all the measures. And then they pay with interest, compound interest, later when it's way too big to take care of.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like, even the pesticides, it's not about, I mean, it's about your health issue. I call it cheap health. I call organic cheap health insurance. But it's also about, what are we doing to the land? Those pesticides go into the streams. They go into, you know, where.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
Now they're finding with fish, they take them, they cut them open, and they're finding plastic inside the fish.
Wow.
And it's like, what we're doing. The thing that's so funny to me is with this bag, I'll go in the makeup store, and they'll give you all these bags for a lipstick. So people take them home and put the lipstick in their purse.
Right.
Well, why couldn't they just put the lipstick in their purse originally? Like, they, you know, oh, here, take the bag. And then everybody needs a bag to, you know, or like at the grocery store, they'll, you know, get breath savers or something and then take a bag.
Right.
And bring it in the car and put it in their purse. And they, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
It's just being aware and.
Or fast food. It's like, well, I mean, going to eat the food in the car. That's why I just went through the drive-through, right? So what's the bag for? Now, they could ask, do you need a bag? Like, are you going to take it into the office or something? But I'm going to eat it here. And it's like, I got all this bag. And I got, you know, it's like, do we really need all that? Then they give you all this extra sauce packages. It's like, I asked for no sauce to begin with. You know, so you're absolutely right.
And they don't think they realize how much... all this affects the environment. I think people just think the garbage is just something that, you know, we just will have garbage and it just magically disappears.
It's like you order a hamburger and you get four forks with that. what am I supposed to do with it?
I heard in Germany now they have a law that you have to return the box of if you buy an appliance to the manufacturer. And they actually have garbage inspectors. And they're like, you took that box, and they actually like make sure.
Really?
I heard actually in I wish I can remember the year right now, but I think something like by 2016 we have to start shipping our garbage out. All our landfills are getting filled up.
Wow!
And you know,
shipping it to Mars or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so the garbage just doesn't disappear. And I think we just don't even think about that.
We've just been short-sighted. And actually, before we close here, I wanted to talk about something that you mentioned earlier, too, that we want things to look good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we miss... Okay, so I'll let you talk about that.
Okay. In the grocery store, you go in the grocery store, and everything fits perfectly into
right.
the containers.
Yes.
And the apples are lip glossed.
Yes.
And, you know, I say the kiwis are in perfect shape. You know, I say, and I do like a little bit, I call it Hollywood, grocery's going Hollywood, because everything looks so pretty. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, well, why? I don't ever see a tree with the same size apples on it. Or, you know, perfect. Everything is so perfect. How do they get them to fit into their container so perfectly? Well, what's happening is they're throwing out a lot of food if it's not the right size. Mm-hmm. And it's still really good food, which is a lot of wasted food. Everyone's saying that we don't have enough food. No, you should see all the food that's being thrown out.
All the food that's being thrown out, not just because of that.
Not pretty.
Right, but also because they're trying to keep the prices high, and this is happening all over the world.
That's a really great point you bring up with kiwi. Kiwi isn't that perfect size. They all don't come that way. You know, there's some that are like heart shaped and big and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so everyone just thinks I see kiwi at the farmer's market, and this one guy goes, the farmer said to me, they said, "What's that?" Because everyone thinks it has to be like an egg shape.
Right.
Where kiwi isn't that shape. But the thing is by us wanting it that shape, that's why kiwi is so expensive. Because they're just taking those that are that shape and making it,
well,
you know, controlling the price that way.
Okay, so what do we do? In reading your book,
okay,
we need to what?
Let's give some ideas. First, the first thing is shop farmer's market for sure. Because farmer's market, you get fresh food that is much fresher. Is that right? That doesn't sound funny. And then, especially because in the grocery
fresher.
In the grocery stores, they pick something way too soon. And I say it's kind of like if you're having a baby and you're only 4 months pregnant.
Oh,
they go,
stop.
Get the baby out now. No. It's fine. It's good enough. And it's by having the food stay longer on the tree, it has more nutrients from the tree, and therefore some of the food at the farmer's market is picked that morning. So it's healthier food, better food. You're supporting the farmers. It's a much healthier way to go. So farmer's market for sure. And I say shop the vote rather than rock the vote, because your vote makes it, your dollars are what makes a difference.
Hmm. Shop the vote.
Shop the vote. Cause that's what makes a difference in like Walmart brought in organic. The reason why isn't because they're this wonderful company. It's mainly because all people wanted organic. So that's why they brought them in. So what you spend your money on makes a big deal. Mm. You know, if no one purchased non-organic, the prices would go down. There would, you know, so what your dollars are a vote. Another thing, look to nature for answers. It's funny, you know, in yoga they have, I'm just thinking off the top of my head now, in yoga they have a pose called waterfall pose. Mm-hmm. And so if you're stressed,
is that the one with your legs up?
Yeah,
I saw in your book.
Yeah,
that's right. I like that. I'm going to do that.
Because you know why?
We'll do that right now.
You're tricking your body. Okay. you're tricking your body to go into rest and digest. Because when we're in fight or flight, all the blood goes to our hands and our feet. So we're running because we have to run. You know, we're stressed. When we're stressed, that's why people have so much digestive issues these days. But when you lay on the ground, again, we're going to do charades here. But when you lay on the ground, put your butt up against the wall and put your legs up on the wall like an L.
Right.
So your legs are up on the wall. Or you can even put your butt on a pillow. So it's kind of like a waterfall where the blood is starting at the toes and going all the way down to the, you know, kind of like a waterfall. What's happening is you're getting blood to your stomach. So it's tricking your stomach, saying, oh, there must be blood. So we're not running from everything. We must be in rest and digest mode. So it's kind of tricking your stomach. So if you can do that 10 minutes a day and not think and not do anything else and just relax.
And that's in the book. Yeah, I saw that. That's great.
And that's another way to look to nature. And also look to nature. Think of how nature is. For instance, a water can carve through rock with consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have something that you're thinking about, think, what would nature do in this situation? So nature is consistent and it gets results. You know, there's so many Zen masters do that. If you come with a problem to a Zen master, they'll look to nature and find the answer in nature. Like, how is nature doing it? And now they have this company called Jean Benyos. is she just was awarded one of Time's most influential people. And she takes huge companies like Mercedes and Herman Miller into nature to say, how would nature solve your design issue or your wind problem or whatever? Mm. And they start studying nature, saying, now, look at the, they did one thing. She took Boeing in, and they got a 33% wind reduction by studying the fins on a fish, how they were jagged at the edges. So it's interesting. So nature has been around 4 billion years and has a lot figured out. And it, I think maybe as a society, maybe we're starting to not think it's as important or something.
We've lost touch with it. So you're saying that obviously, you know, when you mention Zen and yoga and all that, that's kind of like on the spiritual realm. But you're saying that we could turn to nature not only for the spirituality, but the psychology of it, the science of it, the physiology of it, everything.
Everything, yeah.
It's all there.
They just designed a Japanese train by looking at the beak of a bird, and the train looks exactly like the beak of a bird. They modeled it after a bird's beak to get the right aerodynamics on it. So they're using now, especially several companies now, actually, but they're going into nature to figure out, okay, they have, sorry, because there's so many things on my mind.
I know. and we've only got a few seconds left.
No.
If this were the last thing you'd ever get to say, what would it be?
No, let me see.
What would nature do right now?
What would nature do right now? Well, nature would take its time and know that everything works out.
Mm.
So nature is one of those things you don't rush. You just say, okay, everything will work out.
And eventually it prevails.
Yes. And it prevails. One last thing with the pesticides, we'll put all these pesticides in the bugs. They don't make a drama. They just go, okay, we're having some problems here. Let's figure it out. The next day, next year, they come back stronger than ever.
The bugs.
So if people are having issues right now, think, how can you come back stronger than ever?
That is great.
Without any drama. I doubt they're going, oh, it's going around and this is what's happening. All they do is they just work on it, come back stronger, and it gets a farmer so baffled because they go, now what do we do? So if you have challenges, say right now, say, how can I prevail here and come back stronger than ever and better than ever and learn from it and make this challenge something that is fantastic, that turns out better than ever for you. Without the drama.
Wow. See, you're full of these gems and a lot of other things. But so in other words, you're saying, good things. I mean, it's not just the gems. It's all there. So basically what you're saying, if life feeds you pesticides, become a stronger bug.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because and also without the drama. This is just what is. Duke Ellington said, gray clouds are just clouds passing over. It's just what is. It's just what's happening at the time. They just look at it and they say, okay, there's pesticides here. How can we deal with it and keep going?
Wow. Well, you have certainly come to share a lot with us and, of course, in our lives, but now with our audience as well. And I am so glad you called me the other day and we were just chit-chatting. It's like, hey, how come you haven't had me on the show? It's like, yeah, how come we haven't had you on the show?
Exactly.
And we did, and you're here. You're really here, and we like you. We really like you. And the book is Nature's Secret Messages, Hidden in Plain Sight on Hay House. And it's Elaine Wilkes is our guest. And you can find out more about her, of course, always at lightchanges.ws, but at her website, Elaine Wilkes, WILKES.com. Elaine.
Thank you. Thank you. And all the books are in Borders.
All the books are in Borders.
My favorite store in the world. I love that store.
And on the internet and everywhere else.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Filippo.
In case you can't see, we're hugging right now. We're pantomiming a hug. Let's stick around so we can party. And
okay, great.
And
I'm staying now. You have my suitcase.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. You're more than welcome to.
I'm out of here.
So with that, we come to the end of one great segment, and we start another. Now, that was the interview segment. I know what that's called. Dorothy, have we decided what this segment is called? Here's Dorothy Lee Donahue.
Change yourself Change Your World.
Is that what it's called?
It is.
Okay, I like it.
This is simply a variation of Gandhi's very popular quote, which is showing up everywhere. He said, "We must become the change we wish to see in the world." So what does this really mean? And how do we go about it? And does it really work? Well, Elaine just gave my whole talk in the last few minutes. The answer is quite simple. What Gandhi is saying is that if we become the unconditional love that we're meant to be and share this love with our families, our friends, and everyone else, and if we're willing to change our mental attitudes, then our individual worlds will change accordingly, and then the collective consciousness will change too. And yes, it really works. I'm proof of that. For many years, way too many, I had a PhD in victimhood and a master's in pity me. I ended up crippled in a wheelchair and in excruciating pain. My son was abusing his prescription medication, and I was angry with him and myself for not being able to change him or help him. My mother was being her usual emotionally and mentally abusive self with me, and I would cry and carry on for hours after talking with her on the phone. I had tried all of my life to change her opinion of me, and I couldn't. I was caught up in the workers' comp world of red tape and incompetent doctors and very nearly lost my mind. I tried and tried to make sense of a system that makes no sense at all. I wanted it to be different than it was and made myself sicker and sicker trying to make it so. The interesting thing is that during all this time, people would call me and ask for advice. And the funny thing is that had I listened to what I shared with them, I could have gotten better a lot sooner. There are so many things in life that we cannot control and that we cannot change. For example, I could not, no matter how hard I tried, control my son's behavior. And I definitely couldn't change my mom's attitude toward me, no matter what I said or did to prove that I was a good person. And I believed that I couldn't change my physical body and that I would never get better. And I believed that I would be in a wheelchair forever. However, what I do know now is that I am the power in my world, and that by changing my attitude and choosing love and forgiveness over anger and frustration, my world has become what I wanted it to be. And I know from personal experience that your world can become what you choose to make it. You can co-create that happiness and success that you've always wanted, or you can settle for a miserable life that is devoid of hope. The choice is yours. The choice has always been yours and always will be. My attitude was one of hopelessness and helplessness during the time I was so sick and in pain. The doctors told me that I would always be in excruciating pain and that the quality of my life would never get any better. The sad truth is that I chose to believe them. Yes, there are many things in life that we cannot control, but we always have the power to control whether or not we go into reaction to them or whether we respond to them. We can always choose and control our attitudes. Amazing things happen when we choose to have a positive attitude and when we choose to remember that we are indeed the power in our worlds. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. What someone said or did to you or someone else 10 minutes ago or 10 years ago need not impact your happiness today. The choice is always yours, whether or not to let it upset you. If you choose to hold on to the anger or continue to be the victim, that is a less than elegant choice, and it will hold you back on your spiritual path, and you will never be happy. When you choose to take responsibility for your feelings and emotions and choose to let go of the past, and when you choose love and forgiveness, you're taking responsibility for co-creating a positive future. Always remember this. You are in charge of you and your actions. When you choose to respond with forgiveness rather than with anger, you are choosing a positive course. You're choosing love, and you set in motion an unstoppable force. The moment I stopped needing my son to stop abusing his prescription drugs, he began to find a way out of his hell. The moment I didn't need my mother's approval or unconditional love, she stopped saying, "I love you, but," at the end of our conversations, and we never had another abusive conversation again. I couldn't change my son or my mother, but I could change me, and I did. Once I began to look within for the love I had been looking for outside of myself, my life changed for the better. Once I chose to love my friends and family members unconditionally, my life improved dramatically. In fact, the moment I gave up the need for drama in my life, I noticed that my friends, who I used to talk to for hours at a time about the drama in their lives and the drama in mine, they started calling less and less. In fact, they don't call me at all anymore. Because the last time we spoke, I said, "Wow, this is such an old story. It doesn't serve either of us to sit through this conversation again. I love you, and I love me too much to do this. So please call me back when you have a new story to share." And I love my new friends who are willing to say to me when I revert to an old way of thinking or to an old thought program, "That was interesting, Dorothy. You might want to rethink it." I used the phrase, "I don't know a lot." And what I do know now is that I know much more about things that I never knew I knew. So I do my best, with my friend's help, to say, "Well, I know this much is true." And then go on to say what I do know. And guess what? I end up knowing a lot more than I thought I did. Try it. You'll be amazed at how much you do know. So I ask each of you tonight to agree to become the change you wish to see in the world. When you change yourself, you will change the world as far as you're concerned, for you are your own world. Another way to say all of this is the inner determines the outer. We cannot have peace on earth until we create peace within. We cannot find love outside of ourselves until we truly love ourselves. Life is that simple. How do we know if we're loving ourselves? This is an easy one. Our lives reflect it. So let us always do the things we know we need to do to make our lives and the world a better place. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you have been waiting and looking for. You're the only one who can end your suffering, and you can only do this by beginning a love affair with you. Let us choose to become very conscious co-creators by making elegant choices. And let us never forget that you are powerful beyond measure, and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee Donahue, with that segment, which we now are titling Something Yourself.
Change Yourself, Change Your World.
Okay, I got it now. And I'll change the way I think about that segment. I love it. And with that, I want to remind everybody that you've been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. I am your host, Filippo, and I have so enjoyed being of service by hosting this show today. I want to thank our guest, Elaine Wilkes, once again for coming by and visiting us and sharing with our audience all her wonderful wisdom. Remember, you can keep the conversation going the week at our website, and there you can find our Facebook page and Twitter pages and all of that. And pretty soon you'll be able to find a whole social network that we're going to be launching here in a really short time. In the meantime, today's show has been made impossible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page and click on their respective links. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendrick, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with our MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechanges.ws. Also, you can follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.